Hey guys, you're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review.
On today's episode, episode number 151, entitled How to Develop Your Warrior Spirit and Mindset, I chat with Rafa Conde. Rafa Conde is an undercover narcotics officer, SWAT officer, hostage negotiator, and a defensive tactics and firearms instructor. In today's episode, Rafa talks about how to harness the warrior spirit and create an unstoppable mindset for success. He uses his diverse background to teach us the many life lessons he's come to learn over the years and how we can apply this into our everyday lives. If you're wondering what it takes to develop your inner warrior spirit and build a warrior's mentality that will help you become the best man you can be, check this episode out now. You are going to love it. Hey, I hope you had a fantastic Christmas yesterday, and if you're listening to this later on, I hope you had a fantastic Christmas whenever you're listening to it. This is the last podcast of 2017, so I wish you a happy new year as well, and I hope your 2018 is amazing, kick-ass, and I hope you achieve the goals you want to achieve. If you haven't joined the Elite Man Mastermind group, I highly recommend you join it now. Go to elitemanmastermind.com, which will forward you right to the Facebook group where we have thousands of incredible men sharing tips, advice, wisdom, motivation, strategies, tactics for succeeding and becoming the best men we can all be. I'm in that group. Dozens of other podcast guests are in that group. And again, thousands of just incredible everyday men like yourself are in that group as well. And I want to encourage you to share your goals for the upcoming 2018 year with this group. So if you're not in the group, make sure you join. Again, it's elitemanmastermind.com, and share your upcoming goals for the 2018 year so we can help you achieve those goals. And if you're already in the group, I encourage you to share your goals as well. And let's start a conversation on helping you reach your goals for 2018. So elitemanmastermind.com will forward you to the group to join, as well as if you're not on the Elite Man newsletter, go to elitemanmagazine.com/newsletter and sign up for the kick-ass Elite Man newsletter, which has incredible advice, wisdom, and tips from myself every single week. And yeah, it is going to be a fantastic 2018. I'm fucking pumped. I'm excited. I can't wait to tackle it, and I can't wait to help you along the way as well and help you reach your goals for becoming the best man you can be and kicking ass further in life. So I hope you enjoy this episode, and I will talk to you on the inside. All right, guys, we're live. It's Justin Stenstrom from elitemanmagazine.com, and my guest today is Rafa Conde from warriorbreed.co. Rafa, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Hey, man. Justin, it is an honor to be on your show, man. I love what you're doing.
Yeah, man, I'm excited to bring you on. We had a great conversation a few weeks back on your podcast as well, Man of War, which was really fun. We, as I mentioned before, I do a lot of interviews, jumping on various podcasts and different shows. But yours kind of stuck out as being really interesting, and the conversation we had was not one I typically have with a lot of people, but it was awesome, and I was more than happy to bring you on this show and kind of expose you to the Elite Man.
Awesome,
audience.
Man. I'm all for it.
Yeah, so just kind of diving a little bit into your background so our guys have a better understanding of sort of, you know, where you come from, where your upbringing is, your background. Today I want to talk about the warrior mindset and, dive into the warrior spirit. But for those who aren't as familiar with sort of your backstory, can you just kind of fill in the gaps for a couple of minutes and just talk about how you got to the place you're at
absolutely,
today?
Oh, absolutely, man. Absolutely. All right. So basically my quest for the sort of say the warrior archetype started when I was very, very young. Basically, I have approximately now, 35 and a half years that I've been training in the martial arts. I started at judo in a very young age. I kind of jumped from there and went into kung fu. And then my course took me to aikido, jiu-jitsu, and then different Filipino arts. And my quest was basically to find that warrior archetype, to find that warrior spirit. And I also studied Zen Buddhism for many years, and, you know, constantly striving for that. For whatever reason, when I was born, I guess that was kind of brought into me. My career in law enforcement started about 14 years ago. Most of my career was narcotics undercover in drug enforcement. I was assigned out to the Drug Enforcement Agency as a federal task force officer. I was also assigned out in county task force as a task force officer. And from there, I also continued, you know, expanded my horizons. I became an instructor, a police instructor. I made the SWAT team in one of my departments. Currently, I'm a hostage negotiator. And we kind of, you know, I kind of went around and felt like really trying new things. That was my goal, to go out there and try new things and see if it kind of led me to that path of the warrior spirit. I had a bunch of military contracts overseas. I did some security work overseas, and I started really teaching the military and law enforcement in South America. I had a real nice, you know, connection with those young guys that were up there. I came back to the States here and started teaching at the police academy. I've been there for about a decade as an adjunct instructor. I teach defensive tactics and firearms. I also run my own martial arts academy here in Boca Raton, Florida, and we have a bunch of good guys there that we're basically training, you know, very hard, and we have a very, very solid program going on there.
Awesome, man. Looks like you have a pretty eclectic background, man, which I really like, you know, starting from when you were really young and just getting into the martial arts, which I've always been a fan of. Judo I've done in the past, jiu-jitsu, wrestling, boxing, some of the things you've done as well. And then I like the fact that you've got into Zen Buddhism, which is, you know, kind of different for someone who is into martial arts, or, you know, the people kind of have that stereotype of guys who are into martial arts and fighting and that kind of stuff, and they have this negative stigma towards them, like they, you know, they just want to go around causing problems. But for the most part, most guys, you know, looking into martial arts, looking to protect themselves and defend themselves and know how to fight, they actually are typically more grounded and looking to be, you know, just kind of like peaceful. For the most part, they're peaceful guys, and they're just looking as it as a way of self-defense, and I think that's kind of how you looked at it over the years, you know, what you've brought into your own life as far as, you know, being an officer and learning these different skills.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I'm one of those that does not believe that there is such thing as a better martial art. I believe that there is such thing as a better martial artist. I've basically tested a lot of the fighting in real life situations, not, you know, in referee indoctrinated situations. I've been on the street. I've fought for my life many times, especially as an undercover agent. And I could tell you with everything in me that it takes a lot of practice and a lot of training. But the martial art that you're training in, it's not really the priority. Just go out there and train. That's my philosophy.
Yeah, I love it, man. And I also like the fact that you're currently doing hostage negotiation work, you know, as a part of the SWAT team. We had a guy on the show who you may know, may be familiar with, Chris Voss, who is a famous hostage negotiator, and I think he has a New York Times bestselling book now. Great book, by the way.
I had him on my show a while back. Yeah, he's good guy.
Smart, great guy, and just, you know, incredibly clever and just his approach to negotiating. And yeah, I mean, that's awesome, man. Is there any stories, like, I want to kind of dive into some of the aspects, as I mentioned before, of the warrior spirit, of some of the other things. This just popped up, though. What's the craziest situation you were in where you had to defend yourself using some of these martial arts, like life or death kind of thing? Is there anything like that sticks out where there's some kind of story that pops up?
The main one that stands out, and I have a few, but the main one that really stands out is, you know, where I was doing an undercover transaction. I was inside a vehicle, and the perp basically, you know, looked at me and called me out and said, "Hey, man, you're an undercover officer," which is, you know, the worst case scenario for any type of undercover situation. So at that point, you know, I try to talk him down. No, I'm not. Next thing you know, typically in that situation, I had my firearm under my left leg because I'm not one of those believers that you go into an undercover operation not being armed. And as I reached for it, he saw it. He kind of leaned towards me and tried to grab my gun. And we were wrestling. And the funniest part is, and there is a funny part to this, is yeah, that it, for me, it seemed at least that I was battling this guy for a good solid 2 minutes. When I saw the video, because we had an dash cam video, I mean, it was literally less than 30 seconds, the entire scenario. Wow. But I will tell you that it was scary. I'm not going to lie. And I had to use good solid body positioning. I had to use good solid strikes. I had to use tremendous gun retention, specifically from the angle that I was in. And I was able to hold him off and put him in a position where he wasn't going to be able to take my firearm until, you know, my backup got there and, you know, took him out of the car and so on. But that was definitely one of the hairiest. And, you know, I have another one where I was running, chasing a guy in my younger years. I was a rookie, man. I was running, jumping fences. I mean, where I worked was one of the most violent cities in Florida. You know, even in the United States, I believe it was classified as number 7 or 8 recently with violent crimes. And, you know, I was chasing this guy and I remember jumping a fence. The guy turns around, points a gun at me. I literally fly like Superman and I land belly down because it caught me in tremendous shock. And at that point, I'm wrestling with the guy trying to get the gun out of his pocket. It was that specific scenario was a very powerful scenario for me also, because the fact that anything could happen at any time, and that quick muzzle in my direction and me being in midair, that was an experience. And I will tell you, that is a scary situation to be in. I was able to subdue him and, again, you know, handcuff him. But it was a fight. I mean, it was a fight. I mean, I got some nice bruises that night for sure.
No shit, man. And it's not like you said before, it's not like you have a referee, or it's not like, you know, two kids fighting in a schoolyard, like a, you know, one of them gives up and, you know, taps out or says that they quit. You know, that's it. It's like this dude is going away for probably a long, long time, and he's fucking doing anything he can to take you out, man. And that means basically killing you if need be. So at this point, like you said, it's a fight for your life. You got to do whatever you can. What are some of the? I know you had this diverse training. You mentioned that there's no wrong martial art out there. But what are some of the more applicable martial arts? Like, if you had to choose maybe one or two, what are some of the things you'd recommend guys definitely try checking out at some point?
I would say integrate yourself with a balanced martial art. If you're just going to choose one. Integrate yourself. Don't forget, you know, I know a lot of guys love jiu-jitsu. I love jiu-jitsu, you know, and it's wonderful, but you have to be very careful. And I'm not saying that it's not applicable in multiple men scenario, multiple assaultant scenario. I mean, you can use it to a certain extent, but just be very careful, because you got to know how to strike, man. You got to know how to strike. You know, there's a misconception, and I'm going to write this. I'm writing a book currently, just started recently. There's a misconception regarding, you know, that all fights go to the ground, that all hyperviolent attacks go to the ground. I will tell you that I have researched that thoroughly over a 10-year block, and I will tell you that that's not necessarily the scenario. Fights ultimately wind up in the ground, but not all fights initially go to the ground. So you got to have a good striking game. I believe you got to have a good throwing game. And then when you go to the ground, you better have a good solid ground game. So martial arts, for example, I love judo. I think judo is a great martial art. Aikido, for all the knock that it's taken out there, it's applicable if you understand the concept. Of course, jiu-jitsu for the ground, absolutely. Man, and I would love to, you know, I would tell people, take either a boxing martial art, some type of boxing, striking. I'm not very fond in just going to box per se, but you can integrate it into your throws, into your takedowns. So I would say, if you can go to a school that kind of gives you different flavors of these martial arts, but integrates it into their teaching, you'll probably find a nice balance there.
Would you recommend people go to like an MMA gym as well at this point? I mean, they didn't have those like 10 years ago, 15 years ago, especially when I was coming up learning this. It was like, you know, and when you were coming up, pick, you know, P piecing it apart like you do like a boxing class or a wrestling right. gym. You know, you go to different things, but how about right. an MMA? How applicable is MMA skills to that? And is there things that you can't get away with? Like, people think they have MMA training, like, all right, they're a badass, they can win any street fight, but it's not necessarily the case.
Oh,
right?
I'll tell you that from 100%, and obviously I'm not going to ditch out names, but I have picked up MMA professional fighters from the ground after they have gotten their ass kicked by a crackhead that broke the bottle in their head on their head. So I will tell you this, okay? This is where it kind of gets dicey, and I know there's going to be people that kind of like are saying, you know, that from my perspective, MMA, it's a great sport, and you could learn a lot of valuable technique from that. However, for me and what I have learned throughout my 35 years, okay, is this. You can diversify all you want, but when you are just refining, for example, you're just refining certain movements, like you're punching, you have 3 punches, 4 punches is great. If you can refine those movements, wonderful. But when you are going out there and you're kind of trying to balance your throwing, your takedowns, your boxing, you know, whatever it is, whether you're working on chokes or whether you're working on submissions or escapes, whatever you're working on, if you're trying to do that all like in one class and kind of thrown and mishmashed together, that's not my philosophy. So I'm not against MMA schools for self-defense, but I will tell you that it's much better to get a specific art or a specific aspects of that art and drill it and focus on it. If I'm going to work on throws, that's what I'm going to be doing in this class. I'm going to work on throws all class long, hell, maybe even the entire week, so I could hone those throws, get them ready. What happens with a lot of these MMA schools, and I am very familiar because I have friends that own them, I have and there's a lot of mishmash, a lot going on. I mean, there's, you know, a jiu-jitsu class here, a judo class there. Okay, now let's do 10 minutes here, 15 minutes there, half hour here. And then basically what you're doing is you're not really focusing and honing the skill set that you need. For a life and death situation, I will tell you this. It is much different than a cage. It is much different than rolling on the mat. Much different. There are tremendous I'll tell you straight up, it is that you have tremendous benefits when you're competing and when you're sparring. And I'm all about sparring and I'm all about rolling and you know, physical contact. But the problem that, once again, and I'm what I alluded to earlier, the problem that we have is that we don't refine these tactics and techniques. We kind of mishmash them and put them all together. So MMA schools are great, but you have to go to the ones that really are focused on specific training, not just a kind of like a hog pile of mishmash.
Yeah, no, I agree, dude. And I think the problem, too, lies with the false sense of confidence that people get when they do this for a little bit. Like, you know, they go to, say, an MMA gym and they go there for a couple months, 2, 3, 4, 5 months. And like you said, it's just not nearly enough time to master any one of these important, profound martial arts skills, like throwing somebody in judo or a solid double leg takedown in wrestling or a hook, like a right hook or a left hook in boxing. You know what I mean? Or uppercut, like all these different little pieces to each martial art. And it takes such a long time to really master. You mean, you watch these guys, you know, college wrestlers, they spend all of their time from like age 7 or 8 years old up until high school, you know, before they get to college, wrestling like every single day. And that's how they get fucking great at wrestling. Mm-hmm. And then you got some guy coming in off the street, you know, trying to, or thinking he has the false sense of confidence that he can now wrestle because he did, you know, some rolling around at the gym a couple times a week for a few months. And he goes into a street fight thinking he has this wrestling skill and he gets fucking demolished because he really doesn't have it. And I think that's kind of the problem. Like, it's great and it teaches people a lot of
things.
Yes,
I agree.
But to really get good at it, I mean, it takes a lot of time.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's you got to have a balance, but you also have to hone specific techniques and tactics. And also, so we won't get too deep into this, but one thing that I want to say, and for your listeners, it's all that training is great, but it's developing that mindset, right? It's developing that warrior mentality, that absolute never quit mentality. Because in a fight for your life, I'm telling you now, okay, I am telling you with 100% certainty, everything that you learn, you're going to fall back on the techniques and tactics that you have trained and honed the most. You're going to go back to that basic level. You're not going to rise to the occasion and all of a sudden you're going to be doing, you know, a flying armbar. I'm telling you, that's not going to happen. Okay. And individuals out there, they really believe that they can rise to the occasion. You're going to fall back down to your level of training, which is whatever you have honed and ingrained the most solid in your, you know, your training, your overall training.
Yeah, I mean, so just kind of walk through that really quickly. Like, when you get into a life or death sort of fight, what is your mindset at that point? Do you actually think like, you know, let me put my hand up here, let me throw a jab and then a straight right, and then let me go for a single leg takedown and let me sweep this guy? Like, is any of that shit going through your mind, or is it literally just like adrenaline pumping through? And like you said, you just fall back kind of to like your instincts at that point, which if you train right, those sort of become like your instincts.
Right. So we have a class that we put on that's a force on force class. Usually that force on force, a 2-day class. We start off with about 20. We usually wind up with about 7 or 8 graduates. Okay. Most people either, you know, they throw up, they pass out psychologically, they're out on that ending of that first day, and we never see them the second day. Okay. Why? I'll tell you. Because these force on force, what we do is we put them in real situations and we have multiple attackers go out there and really strike them. Hit, you know, we're padded up, but we go out there and we just beat the shit out of this guy in a situation where, you know, he has to defend himself. Sometimes he might be armed. Sometimes he might have a knife to defend himself, and we take him to the ground and he has to fight through it. Now, when you are in battle, okay, in a true street situation where, and I'm talking about a hyper violent situation here, not a bar brawl. And what I tell my students is this, you know, a bar brawl is a big difference than going out there and getting attacked by a hyper-violent attacker, a mugger, someone that's going to take you out, someone that wants to hurt you, not some drunk in a bar so much, okay? Now, situation is that you need to know how to link techniques. And when I say linking techniques, I'm talking about if you are going for a takedown, or if you are going from an armbar, and all of a sudden this guy rips that armbar out, you want to be able to transition to punching, kicking, biting, pulling, and then redirect that again to a takedown. Go back to wherever you came from. You always, the way that I teach that approach is you're constantly linking one movement to the other, to the other. And ideally, when you get to a certain level, this linking of movement becomes just instinctive, right? So you might be transitioning from a kick to a punch to a throw to a choke to a takedown to then back to striking the head, striking the body, biting, pulling, whatever you need to do to survive that. And then eventually, and the most important thing that I teach is know when to fucking disengage, man. All right. A lot of guys think that they're badass. They're going for a badass submission. If you can't get the submission quickly, don't fucking stay there. Let me tell you this. And this is what we're jiu-jitsu players and guys that love to do this. They want to fucking waste, you know, burn the enemy out. I get it. Burn them out. Okay. You know, which is something that I teach also in specific situations, but you can't sit in a street fight in a hyper violent situation waiting for that other guy to just burn out. You have to go hunting, because remember, it might be 1, 2, 3, 4 guys. So you want to be able to hunt, seek what you need to seek, and disengage, man. I mean, so I'm talking about the most important thing to answer your question is linking one technique with the other and doing it flawlessly throughout your movements.
Okay, so by disengage, you mean just like ending the fucking fight as quickly as possible and
getting out of dodge, absolutely, 100%. There is nothing wrong with getting out of dodge when you need to get out of dodge, okay? It's not like you need to go and, you know, it's a different philosophy. Look, if you have a firearm on you, okay, and there's an active shooter situation, that's a different complete mindset, because at that moment you have to defend your family and you must do the smart thing. You got to take this motherfucker out. That's the end of the story. Okay. And you have to move forward, attack, and fucking neutralize them however you need to do it. Now, when we're talking about a hyperviolent attack, say you're not armed and you're in the middle of whatever and the street and people and you're fighting 2-3 guys, yeah, you got to know when to disengage and then start ditching and going.
Okay, cool. And the last thing is, what is the sort of the quickest way to end a fight like this, like a violent fucking crazy fight where you have to just take somebody out? What's the quickest way?
Well,
to
the
do
quickest
that?
Way, obviously, if you're armed. For me personally, I love knife fighting. I mean, that's one of the main things that I teach all over the world. Okay, I'm a big fan of knife fighting. I think I rather face a good gun fighter than a good knife fighter. Okay, and I'll tell you this.
What do you mean by that exactly?
Well, very simple. Okay, a round, a bullet, right? A round of a gun is very linear. The trajectory on that is basically very linear. Obviously, the emphasis and the most important aspect of knowing firearms and understanding firearms is that distance is your friend, right? I mean, ideally, you don't want to get too close in a close quarter scenario. If I'm the bad guy, for example, my idea here is, hey, I don't want to get so close that this guy's going to rip the gun away from me. So tactically, that distance is what's going to differentiate a firearm from a knife. It's the distance. Because if you're in close and you're fighting for your life, it is a lot easier to control a firearm than it is a knife. A knife fighter that is in within that 21-foot area, and I've shown this many times again, that we're talking 21 feet, all right, he will chop you up, he will kill you in a matter of no time. And every slash and every stab in your body counts. And the most important part about this is psychologically, it is absolutely fucking a killer. Most people that get slashed and start seeing blood pour out, like literally like a fountain, you know, a 10 or a 12-inch fountain out of your body, it takes that will to fight out of you, all right, unless you are very, very solidly trained. If you eat a bullet in your stomach, you're not going to see that much blood. Psychologically, you're going to be able to fight for a little bit longer, all right? But the second that you get a slash and you see the meat and you see the wound and you see the freaking splurts of blood everywhere, it is psychologically an absolute fucking terror. So, I mean, I tell you that from experience. I've been there when people have been stabbing and literally fucking cut each other up. And I've been there. The blood's been squirting in my eyes everywhere. And wow. It's a sight. It's very, very powerful sight. It's almost where you say, man, this is pure terror at its worst right here.
Do you want more confidence in your life? How about 10 times more confidence? Just imagine for a minute how much your life would improve if you literally had 10 times more confidence. Your social skills, your dating life, your charisma, your work, all of these areas would improve dramatically if you had more confidence. How do I know? Because I've literally helped thousands of guys get more confidence through teaching them the concepts I teach in my brand new confidence course. Men have become social rock stars. They've gotten beautiful girlfriends. They've instilled a belief that they can do anything that comes their way. They've implemented their confidence into getting their dream jobs and so much more. And now I've got the perfect way for you to get confidence just like them. I've come out with the best confidence program on the market. It's called 10x Your Confidence and will give you the step-by-step formula for getting unbelievable rock star-like confidence today. And for a limited time, you can get this incredible course for 50% off the regular price. Just go to 10xyourconfidence.com right now and sign up. But act fast. This special offer won't be up for much longer. If you're serious about changing your life and getting groundbreaking confidence, get this incredible program today. 10xyourconfidence.com.
Thanks for breaking that down. So definitely weaponize yourself if possible, right? Like in a situation like that. I guess if no weapons are around, you just kind of going for throat punches, kicks to the nuts, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you want to – I mean, the kick to the nuts, that's an overplayed. I mean, most likely that's not going to work or stop someone that easy. I mean, people think, obviously if it's just a – but if it's a drunk guy or a guy high on PCP or heroin or whatever, a kick in the nuts not really going to do. What I like to do is go for the eyes. That's my primary spot. Okay, go to the eyes and go to the ears. Why to the ears? Because the ears, okay, we have a technique that's called ringing the bell. We basically slap both ears together, like if you're slapping a basketball side to side with as with as much power as we can possibly get. That's going to throw off the equilibrium. It's going to absolutely throw the individual out. If you can get to the head, you go to the eyes. You can then control the head, you know, from the higher crown area of the head, knee strikes, fingers, whatever you can to that head. One thing that I say always, you control the head and you control the body.
With the eyes, is it pokes to the eyes or is it just punches to the
pokes
eyes?
Pokes to the eyes, stick the fingers in there, get the person
gouging
out all
shit,
the time.
Yeah.
That believe me, that works. It works. It's disorienting and it works. The issue is getting your hands in there and being able to do it. A lot of people say, yeah, they can do it, but it's not that easy. You got to have really, you know, you really got to know what you're doing, number one. And number two, you really have to have that inner drive to be able to say, hey, I'm going to stick this guy and rip his eyes out if I have to.
Yeah, that takes some balls just to do that. I think I think most people wouldn't be able to actually, you know, pop somebody's eyes out like that. I don't even know if I could do that in a situation.
I mean, I have stories where 18, 17-year-old girls have done it. I mean, I have done it, but you got to be in a situation where it's life and death, you know. It's not like you're just going to go out and say, hey, I'm fighting this guy, and all of a sudden I'm going to go for his eyes. You got to turn that, and that's when we start talking about that warrior spirit, that fighting spirit, that will to live, that will to fight. You have to teach that, man. You got to become that lion. You got to step up and have that roar, you know, that power that comes from inside. Because guess what? You've seen it, I've seen it, and we've all heard about it. The mom that goes out there that her kid is in a car and she's going to fucking break the window, however it is, or carry that fucking car and move it, because she all of a sudden every ounce of energy in her body locks in and she's able to save her child. You know, so that's the kind of a mentality and mindset that we need to approach a life and death situation.
Yeah, no, let's kind of focus on this. Let's shift gears and focus on the mentality. Actually, really quick, though, I totally agree with what you're saying. And I've heard, you know, crazy stories on the news and over the years of, you know, old ladies lifting up a fucking 2-ton car to pick up a kid or something.
No doubt.
You know, just crazy shit like that. Like, and it's true. It happens. But I just got reminded when you said that of there's a video that just came out a couple days ago or something on Facebook. There's this fucking moron YouTube guy who does, or he was doing, like pull-ups. I don't know if you've seen this, Rafa, but he's doing like pull-ups off like buildings and stuff. And he films himself with like this camera he's got attached to like another building nearby, and he can like film himself doing it or whatever. He had a YouTube channel. But anyways, he gets on this like 69 or whatever story fucking skyscraper, and he goes to do, it's kind of, I mean, it's actually funny because it's so stupid, but I feel bad for the guy in a sense. But he gets on the thing, he's trying to do a couple of push-ups. He gets down to like the third or fourth pull-up. He gets down to like the third or fourth pull-up, and he gets fucking stuck, and he can't lift himself up. So he's filming himself doing these fucking pull-ups off this building, and he's trying to lift himself up.
Oh, I gotta check that out.
And he does not have enough strength to get himself up, so he starts like fucking flailing around trying to use his momentum to get back up. And there's nobody around either, mind you.
Wow.
So he's trying this for like maybe 10, 15 seconds, and he's just fucking like flailing around helplessly. And the next thing you know, he loses his grip and he comes fucking flying off the building, and I guess he ends up dying. He just like literally falls off like a 69 story or whatever.
Oh,
it was
shit.
Fucking skyscraper, and he fucking gets toasted. But
I gotta check that video out.
It's kind of funny in a fucking sick, bizarre way. But I mean, you at the back of your mind, you do feel bad for the guy. But it's fucking just moronic what he's doing there. But I guess he didn't have like that old lady strength to fucking pull himself up and save his own life. But I guess if it's somebody else, you can do it.
I guess so, man. Or maybe we're just gonna cut it that he didn't have the right mindset.
Yeah, I don't think he had this training that we're gonna talk about. And so let's kind of dive into that, man. Let's talk about the warrior spirit, developing this mindset. What is some of the kind of the overview of this? Like, where do we start if we want to kind of develop this badass, you know, warrior spirit that you have and you've developed over the years?
All right, let me go back here. 2015, I basically decided to start Warrior Breed as a company that it's all about forging men. It's all about, you know, building that warrior spirit. And the reason I did it was very simple. Working in the academy, in the police academy, and dealing with all sorts of warrior-minded men, and more importantly, all sorts of people. I mean, I have seen over the last 14 years of my career and as an instructor in martial arts, I have come across thousands and thousands of individuals. But what caught my eye and what really, really kind of pissed me off was the emasculation of the man. I did not see that heart, that drive, that mindset, right? So, I started seeing it even in the law enforcement field. And I started seeing it as students came into my school and when I traveled overseas and I saw the military and I saw these younger men that were just, come on, you know what I'm saying? I mean, where are your balls? Where is your heart? Where is that drive? So I decided to start Warrior Breed, and it was basically, the way that I put this together was real simple. It's to go out there, number one, to network with other warrior-minded men. Number two, and most importantly, is to basically do everything you can in your power, all right, to start cycling in that warrior spirit. And we do that by accountability. We do that by learning discipline. We do that by following a certain code, a warrior code. We even take that out of the Bushido, which is the old samurai warrior code. And when we follow these precepts and these virtues and we line them up, basically we have a beautiful triad. And the triad goes like this. The triad is the first peak of, imagine a triangle. The first peak in the triangle is mind shift, because we need to change the way we think. It's not just mindset, it's mind shift. We got to have that true, solid mind shift. The two bases on the corner, then we have what we call field dominion and warrior craft, right? Field dominion is basically your job, you know, entrepreneurship, how you carry yourself and how you lead in this world, right? Also, that field dominion is how you provide and protect for your family. Then on the other side is warrior craft. Warrior craft is how you hone your skills, how you basically integrate that warrior spirit into your life, and how you develop the skills needed to protect your family, to protect yourself. Because in my world, it's very simple. When we talk about these three triads, these three points, it's very simple. You cannot be a modern-day warrior without either one. You cannot have one without the other. Field dominion is crucial. That is your leadership aspect. But without being and training in the martial arts, or being at the very least being knowledgeable, okay, and trying to hone that warrior craft by reading, by training, by maybe going to the range, understanding the weapons craft part of it, you're going to lose your balance. And then of course at the tip is that mind shift, because now we've changed everything, the way that we feel, the way that we think, the way that we talk to each, to myself. You know, if I'm that guy stepping in through the door, that is the first thing that I'm going to be looking for, that mind shift, that immediate change of thinking. So just to give you a little kind of like the way we step, you know, we kind of get into this. I mean, the way that I break it down is, hey, we start off by discipline. We start off by accountability. We start off then from there. We start changing the way we think. We start changing the way we act. Physical fitness is huge. All right. Physical fitness has to be part of that, because that's how you're going to start administering the discipline into your life. Okay. When we administer that discipline into our life, we're going to change the dynamics of who we are, because that discipline is going to take us, okay, into that next level, which would be warrior craft. And once we start training in warrior craft, now we have that beautiful balance of field dominion, warrior craft, and your mind shift. So I believe in this day and age, Justin, and I'm sure that we agree, you know, we agreed on this going back, man, that we need men. We need solid men. We need guys that have that warrior spirit. We need, you know, just like your podcast is all about, the elite man, getting these guys to a second tier, to that higher level. I mean, we need men like this to roam this earth.
No, I totally agree, man. And like you said, going back to the conversation we had, I think, unfortunately, there's just such, especially the millennial age, the millennial generation. I don't know the exact age. If you look it up, maybe it's like 25 to, no, maybe 21 or whatever to like 36 or something, like whatever it is, the millennial age. I don't know. There's just something wrong with my millennial group, my generation, where everybody is entitled. People are thinking that everybody owes them something, that the government owes them something, that their parents owe them something, that their friends owe them something, that, you know, things will just come easy in life. And I think it's just a rude awakening when they you know, realize that life isn't easy. It's not, you know, just going to be handed to you. You have to work hard. You have to have, you know, some of the things you talked about: accountability, discipline, you know, physical fitness, working on yourself, putting the time in to make sure your body is at its peak level, and that your mind is at its peak level for that matter as well. And I think it takes a certain amount of dedication to do these, and a certain mindset, like you said, a mind shift away from how people think, how younger men especially think in this day and age. But it's guys like you, guys like me, you know, talking about this on the podcast, on the shows that we have. I think it's going to help a lot of guys kind of realize that, you know, it's about putting in the fucking work and taking the time to master yourself and master your own life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, to add to that, it's, you know, everything that we do in life is about action. We could, you know, obviously sit here, talk about it. We can read about it. We can go to YouTube and, hey, there's a great documentary or a great podcast or whatever it might be. But the bottom line is that realistically, man, I mean, in the end, it's actions, right? Actions that we take, actions that we step into and make that make us better, that make us stronger. At the end of the day, if you don't have what I call actionable goals, I mean, you're basically going to be flatlining through life. And if you flatline through life, when it's time for your deathbed, you're going to be wishing that you had done something different. That is a guarantee in your life. So I stress this to everyone that I come in contact with. Live your life today. All right. Live your life today. Forget about tomorrow. Live your life today. And if you can kind of stay with that philosophy and that mindset, I mean, I think you're going to be better off overall. And it's, remember, Justin, is little steps. We don't have to take huge steps every single day. But if we're taking that step in the right direction, and if maybe we might take two or three to the rear every once in a while, so what, man? Get up, fight, move forward, and continue.
Yeah, just keep moving the needle every single day. And I want to add something too as well. The people who listen to the show, the majority, the far majority of people that listen to the Elite Man podcast, and I'm sure the majority of your listeners who listen to Man of War as well, those are the types of guys who are leading the charge. Like, I don't want to sit here and point out, you know, I kind of just bashed millennials a minute ago. And I think in general, millennials, for the most part, have that the wrong sort of mindset, and they have that entitlement attitude. But I think the far majority of people that are actually listening to shows like yours and mine are the right kinds of guys to lead the way. These are the guys who are putting in the work. These are the guys who are taking the steps. These are the guys who are listening to the right information and then going out and implementing those things. So I want to kind of give a nod to these types of guys listening to the show. And, you know, these are the guys who are going to have to sort of be the leaders of the generation and kind of snap the other people back into shape.
Absolutely. I mean, like you, guys like yourself that are stepping up and you know, and taking charge and leading that, you know, the way. I mean, look, there's only so many days that we can live in our life. And the bottom line, when everything is said and done, you can go back and you could try to live your life 100 different ways. But there's only a couple of real ways that you're going to benefit living life, and that is by achieving some type of happiness for you and for others around you, giving of yourself, right? In my book, you're not a warrior unless you give of yourself. That's incorporated in the mind shift element, all right? And more importantly, you know, you don't want to be living a life, and I'm sure you agree with me, being a fat slob guy that has medical problems and can't be there with his children because he's either too tired or can't do it. And you know, so you want to be able to be an elite individual. You want to be able to do it for not only yourself and the people around you, but you want to be able to do it for society in general, right? You want to be able to have someone look at you and say, hey, you know, this guy's doing it right, because that's when other people start following you and start saying, hey, this guy has a clue. Let's kind of follow him and see what he's doing. That's how you start building society stronger, by kind of leading by that example.
Yeah. Rafa, have you helped other guys out as far as like mentorship? And also, have you had any like key male role models in your life to kind of guide you in you know, the direction you're
Yes, I mean, look, my mentor in my life has been my father. I mean, he's a very hardworking individual. He has, you know, he family first for him. His mindset has always been, you know, no matter what, he has always been there for each and every one. We're four boys. We're four brothers. All my brothers have been very successful, and it has been because he has instilled in every one of us that we have that power in us to do everything that we want to and then more. And if we were at any point down, and I still go to my father, believe it or not, for advice at times. And, you know, and you know, it's always, hey, you know, keep your head up, keep marching to the tune, you know, stay forward. I mean, my father's been married over, my mom has been married over 50 years. So, you know, I can't, you know, I can't knock him. I mean, he has something that I could learn from every single day. So, you know, with that said, of me mentoring other individuals, yes, I've mentored quite a few men out there, a couple that I can't really name, but are pretty high level guys out there. They came through me from a connection, going back, and these guys, you know, they are warrior minded men. They need to, you know, they need that energy fed into them every, like we all do every, you know, week or so. They need guidance, which is great. And as long as, like I tell them, as long as you can apply it and be actionable, right? Take action in what you do and implement it into your life. And what I do is I give them a structure, right? I give them that frame structure. I give them that frame structure so they can take with them and follow. And when they come to me, I feed them that energy and I guide them. And the best teachers out there, Justin, are guides. They're not, you know, you talk about a lot of hands-on teachers, but truly a good teacher will guide you in the path, right? Will guide you, because ultimately you're going to have your own level of self-discovery. And if you don't have that self-discovery where you find things out for yourself, you're basically never going to truly learn whatever it is that you're trying to do.
Yeah, I totally agree with as far as you know, having mentors in your life, the importance of that. Speaking of so many highly successful people over the years on the podcast, it's like every single one of them has had some or multiple mentors that have like really guided them in their life and helped them in different parts of their life. I mean, it's not like, you know, they have to hold their hand and walk them through life, but just giving them the feedback, giving them the guidance, telling them, you know, oh, try this out, maybe try that out, or giving them some ideas to bounce around in their head.
Sure.
Has been a game changer in a lot of aspects for them. And I think giving that back too and helping other people, like younger guys especially, there's so many poor role models out there for younger men. Being a man, you know, of this warrior mindset, being a man of this warrior spirit, and you know, like you're a leader in the community, helping other guys coming up, I think is awesome. And it's also very rewarding and sort of is a key element, I think, to being happy in your life.
I agree. I believe that, you know, being able to go out there and help others, it's so rewarding. It really is.
The other thing, too, I wanted to add to what you said about being actionable and the importance of that. Speaking to Elliot Hulse a long while back, maybe a couple of years back, but one of the quotes that he had that stuck out to me, one of his favorite quotes was, successful people don't always make the right decisions, but they make their decisions right. Like, no matter what they do, they're actionable. They make things happen. Sometimes it's a stupid thing. Sometimes it kind of backfires, but they keep going forward. They keep pressing forward, and they make whatever decision they made, they make it right in the end by just taking that action. So, I mean, it's definitely a profound little statement, but it's a great way to sort of think about this and think of the concept of kind of, you know, taking action and making things happen in your life. Rafa, is there a way to sort of implement the three triad steps you have, like every single day, like waking up in the morning to kind of going to bed at night? Is there sort of a guide that you have for guys to kind of start taking these steps and taking these actions?
Yeah, absolutely. I have a free manual that anybody can grab. That it's at forgingawarrior.com/manual. It's just a free manual. It kind of sets you on your way. Basically, look, first thing that you need to do is implement discipline into your life. And how you do that is very simple. You start off taking baby steps. Figure out something that you feel that you're soft on and attack it viciously and say, okay, tomorrow I'm going to be doing this. And don't shy away from it. So, for example, a lot of guys are, hey, man, I slept till, crap, till 7:30. It was too late for me. First thing for me is I love to get started early in the morning. For my job, I wake up at 3:50 in the morning. Okay, I'm in lineup at 5:15 in the morning. All right, so when most people are still sleeping in their beds, I'm out there fighting crime. All right, why? Because for me personally, that's where I love the morning, man. When I studied, Zen Buddhism, when I studied Qigong, my Sifu was very simple. He said, wake up, see the sun rise, and just take a breath as it rises. And I got to tell you, for me personally, I think anyone that wakes up after the sun rises, okay, is missing a huge element and a huge opportunity to really discipline themselves and to really get focused on the day in front of us. So, first thing that I say is, listen, wake up, try to figure out, start off by implementing 15, 20 minutes earlier, wake up a good chunk over, do that over a couple of weeks. So you can say, if you wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning or 7:30, try to make a goal, try to wake up at 6 a.m. Shave 15 minutes every week. Boom, boom, boom. Work it. Finally, your body's going to get used to it and you'll start waking up early. Now, when you wake up early, you got to have a plan. You got to have an actionable plan. Why? Because if we don't have a plan when we wake up, we're just going to, lilygazy around and not do anything. So have a plan. Usually what I do is I have my shorts, my t-shirt right there in front of my bed. So when I wake up, boom, all I got to do is put my shorts and my sneakers, my t-shirt, and I'm out. I either go out for a run, kettlebells, whatever functional fitness I decide the night before that I'm going to do. And I really approach that with 100%. I knock it out. I'm not big into spending 2 hours in fitness. I think 35, 40 minutes is awesome. If you can do it with a high intensity level, then come in. I like to come in the morning. I drink my tea. I love to read at that point, and then I get to work. So what I tell most individuals is you got to take baby steps and implement discipline primarily, and that's a primary component of becoming a warrior, is that discipline. All right, then of course, Justin, you're talking about mind shift. We can go on and off forever, but discipline is that specific element that I think is going to be the most important aspect for anyone trying to walk that warrior's path.
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. And, if you have that discipline right away, even if you start taking just baby steps, like you said, eventually you can kind of get all these pieces together, because, you can implement the martial arts, you can implement, say, the mental training, the reading books and studying and trying to get better at what, or to learn more information about what you're trying to get better at. The weapons training, if you want to do the weapons training, the providing for your family with the field dominion and the leadership aspects that come along with that. I think that all kind of stems off of putting in those baby steps in the beginning and having that discipline every single day to move that needle forward. Rafa, it's been a fantastic interview, man. Let's just kind of wrap things up here. Is there a last send-off message you'd like to leave the Elite Man audience, and then also a place that our listeners can check out more about your work, man?
Yeah, basically, look, this is it. If I were going to leave, your listening base with just one thing, is this, okay? For men, as we all are, okay, you must live a life of honor. You must live a life of integrity. And above all, you must live a life that you can go to bed tonight and never wake up tomorrow and feel like you have absolutely accomplished everything that you could possibly accomplish. I'm a big believer that you need to live each day to the fullest. So to each and every one of your listeners, go out there, man, live life, do it in an honorable way, do it in a way that you can help others big time. People can reach me, Justin, very simply at my email, just so you know, it's warriorbreed.us@gmail. I receive a lot of emails there. I will answer everyone's email if they have any questions at any time. I'm big into answering emails. Our website is forgingawarrior.com. That's the membership site. It's the Warrior Development Academy. You can go there. Also, warriorbreed.co is the official website of Warrior Breed. And the podcast website is manofwar.live.
Awesome. Rafa, thanks again for coming on the show, brother. Really do appreciate it. Take care, man, and I will talk to you
soon. All right, brother. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right, guys. I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I need you to do. I need you to subscribe to this podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing to the podcast, you get every single episode the minute they're released. Get all of our Elite Man podcast interviews with all of our incredible world-class guests from the lifestyle, health, fitness, business, and social worlds absolutely free. Subscribe now, guys, if you haven't already, and enjoy all future episodes. And yes, if you do love the podcast, leave us an awesome review. We really do appreciate it.